Well, this morning what we're going to do is continue in the series on spiritual formation, spiritual growth, and we're coming this morning. What I'd like to present to you is what I'm calling a divine rendezvous, a divine rendezvous. We're talking about those biblical and practical approaches to spiritual formation, spiritual growth, and what I'm calling this morning a divine rendezvous. Now, as you will know from the preaching over the past several weeks from Matthew 7 in particular, we've been teaching, I think the Lord has been teaching us, that response to the will of the Father in both heart and action is vital for fruit bearing. Would you agree that what Matthew is teaching us in these various ways, we just lost all of our cameras. Is that okay? Gotcha. Okay, well, just trust me. I'm reading you what's on the screen. There we go. Now you don't have to trust me anymore. Matthew 7 has been teaching us that a response to the will of the Father in both heart and action is vital for fruit bearing and heeding the warnings of Jesus. And we've talked about, Jesus has taught us about bearing fruit, about the importance of fruit bearing, that we will know one another by fruit. We can know ourselves to be Christians by the fruit that we bear. That fruit bearing and knowing Jesus and being in a relationship with Jesus in the day of judgment is the most vital thing, not things we've done in his name, but knowing him. And we've just seen that over and over through Matthew 7. And so this doing the will of the Father, as we saw last week, is then the foundation by which our house stands in the day of judgment, as we saw that. And just by way of clarification, and I stated this once, and there still seems to be some question or lack of clarity, but in the interpretation of Matthew 7, what I was taking was that Jesus is not the foundation. Jesus is not the rock in that particular passage. Rather, the rock that by which the house stands is doing the will of God. Those who hear the word of God and do it. So it's not Jesus in that passage that is the foundation that keeps the house from falling. It is obedience to the will of the Father. And that's why I front-ended and front-loaded that sermon with the gospel itself, so that wouldn't be misunderstood. So what we've seen is that spiritual growth is about knowing God in relationship, not just knowing about him in theological content. I think we're all, I hope, convinced, at least philosophically, that that's the case, that people can know a lot about God and know a lot of good theology and know a lot of good things that the Bible teaches, and yet don't know God, don't have a relationship with him. And so what I'm going to do is ask an open question that I want you to give me some feedback on. If it is about relationship with God, what are the most basic elements of relationship building? If I have a relationship with somebody, what are the basic elements, the basic things that are necessary in any kind of a relationship?
Communication.
Trust. Okay, good. Yeah, Jay?
Time.
Time, trust, communication. Tammy, you got something? You're nodding enthusiastically?
Agreeing,
good. Anything else? And communication, which goes which way? Yeah, not everybody gets that, do they? They think a relationship is that you are very good at listening to all the things that I say. But that's not really a relationship, is it? You can do that with a wall, right? Some people are just very good walls, and other people are very good wall talkers. What else? So time, communication, two-way communication, what else? Trust? What's that?
Love.
Obviously, yes. So the kind of relationship we're talking about is a relationship of love. Obviously, I can have a relationship and communicate to somebody and not love them, and we're talking about a loving communication. Yes, Raylan?
Humility, teachability.
Humility, teachability. Excellent. What else? Yeah, Steve?
Doing things for each other.
Doing things for each other. Good.
Yes.
Okay, their story, good. What are they about? What is their purpose? Good, excellent. Yes?
Compromise.
And what do you mean by that, brother? Okay, so it's not just my way and you happen to do everything I like and therefore we have a relationship, but is we are compromising, we are deferring to one another, we are forgiving one another. Excellent. What else? Yes, really?
Gentle courage.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
If necessary.
Okay.
Afraid to confront, and then to do it.
Okay. Confronting, being confronted, being willing to do that. Rob?
Somebody said forgiveness.
Okay, forgiveness, yeah. Excellent. What else? Can you think of anything else?
Accountability.
Accountability in a relationship, okay? Good. right, those are excellent. So that's a lot, that's a broad range, isn't it? So that's just the case with any. But at the end of the day, let's boil all that. What is absolutely necessary for any of that? Like, what is the bottom line for any of that to happen? Yeah, Ben?
Time and communication.
Okay, time and communication, two-way communication. And communication includes talking to the person and listening to the person. You can't do acts of love, acts of service, acts of accountability, acts of teachability, all of those things, and you can't even build trust unless there is one person listening to the other person talking to the other, and vice versa, right? So what's absolutely most basic is talking to a person. Again, it's not a wall. A wall is not a person. And listening from the person. Now, let me ask you a question when it comes to this. This personal question, I won't ask you to answer. The other was an open question. But now let me ask you a personal question. Do you approach your spiritual growth, and particularly your relationship with God, haphazardly or intentionally? So somebody define for me haphazard. What does haphazard mean?
At random.
At random, okay. What else? What does haphazard mean? Yeah. Okay, there you go. So haphazard is lack of intention, intentionality, lack of consistency, right? Okay, good. And again, I'm just asking the word haphazard, not spiritual examples, but the word haphazard.
Reactive rather than proactive.
Okay, here's a great illustration we've been talking about in some discipleship is my care. I have a track record of care for my vehicle that is haphazard. Which means when the red lights go off, I react. I respond, right? When I have a flat tire, I do something about it. What I'm terrible about doing is checking the tires and checking the oil and checking anything and maintaining that relationship with my vehicle, right? That's the same thing with my home. When it's like something's not right around here, that I think about checking the air filter and it's all clogged up and everything else. So I'm a bad maintainer. So haphazard is responsive and not proactive, right? How about intentional? Give me some definitions or other synonyms for intentional.
Planned.
Okay, good.
Purposeful.
Discipline. Good. Excellent.
Religiously.
What do you mean by that?
Okay,
religiously.
Acting out of it.
Okay, good. Planning, think of, how about forethought? Right, yes?
Vision.
Vision. Okay, what do you mean by that?
I guess it's summed up under purpose, but you have an idea of the direction.
Okay, directional. Direction, right? If I go... Craig Plattner is so good at this. When he takes his family on vacation, do you haphazardly drive to the West? he's like the opposite of that. You know, it's not meandering. It's like we know what roads we're taking. We know what hotels. That's intentional. It's forethought. It's very planned and future looking, right? Like, where am I headed? Because if I don't know where I'm going, I don't know how to get there. And if I don't have any goal in the end, then I can drive anywhere and accomplish my purpose, right? Including it, driving into the ocean. Well, was that your goal? Well, I didn't have a goal. Well, I guess you reached it. All right, so here's my personal question is, do you approach your spiritual growth, your relationship with God, haphazardly in all of the ways that we define that and the synonyms we used, or intentionally, purposefully? And I would ask that question not only your relationship with God, but relationships in general. How do you... what is your relationship with your spouse? Is it reactionary, responsive, which all can be good because I can tell you, you can maintain your truck and the oil light will still go off and you can say, I don't care if what light stinking light's on. I know I checked the oil yesterday. If your oil check oil light goes off, you better respond, right? But it's a response in the context of purpose, intentionality, plan, maintenance, all of those things. So let me ask you a question, and I need you to be really dead honest with yourself. Is your spiritual life and growth in regards to your relationship with God haphazard or intentional? All right? So what we're going to talk about this morning is something that maybe some of you, I'm going to share experience with you that I had this week of in my heart saying, maybe you're having the same thing, something like, oh, really, again with this? Oh, we already know this? Sometimes it's called quiet time. Sometimes we call it personal devotion. Sometimes we call it private worship. What other names? Can you think of any other names that we use for that time with God?
Time back.
What's that?
Time with Jesus.
Time with Jesus. Good. I shouldn't have put all these up here, but asked you first. I'm sorry about that. But quiet time, personal devotions, private worship. I've come up with a term. I didn't come up with it. I've discovered a term. What I'm liking, because of what it conveys, is a rendezvous. A rendezvous. A rendezvous is a meeting at an agreed time and place, typically between two people. And so what I'm phrasing this that I got, I think it was from Bill Mowry's Ways of the Longsider, is a quiet time, which may or may not give the idea, but that even can give the idea of I'm just a time I'm being quiet. Or personal devotions. Well, it sounds personal, but anyway, any of these phrases I think are good phrases, private worship, etc. But there's something about the idea of a rendezvous with God that I like thinking about that way. Now, sometimes in culture we think of a rendezvous as a kind of a meeting you shouldn't have. They had a rendezvous, right? But the basic meaning of rendezvous is a meeting and agreed time and place, typically between two people. And you know what Kimberly and I do on Wednesdays? We have a rendezvous. Ooh, what does that mean? Well, we have lunch together and we watch an episode of something that we enjoy together. All right, so it's not what you were thinking. It's relationship building. It's being together. It's doing something together. So I want us to think about an intentional time that is planned and a typical and planned place to meet with God and cultivate that relationship with Him. I think this is more personal. Another term that may be used is personal Bible reading. But personal Bible reading, I don't know about you, but that sounds very impersonal to me, doesn't it to you? I mean, it's true. It's my reading the Bible for myself. But this is a time in which I am planning and intending purposefully, not haphazardly. I'm coming in an intentional way to meet with God. Now, I can tell you that I love my Wednesday rendezvous with my wife as we have that lunch together. But it doesn't mean that our time of relationship building is over, does it? It enhances the rest of our relationship. So when she comes to me on Monday and says, hey, I've got a couple of questions about what we're going to do this week, I don't say, no, wait a minute, we can't talk now. We've got a rendezvous on Wednesday, and that's our personal time. No, we have an ongoing dynamic relationship, but we also have static periods. Sometimes we have date nights. Sometimes we have other intentional, like we need to have a family meeting. Let's shut the door. Let's go into the den. Let's talk about these things. Those things enhance and assist the ordinary dynamic relationship, but can you imagine if everything that we did and all of our relationship was built just on passing as we passed one another rather than sitting down face to face? And so the purpose then of a divine rendezvous, a quiet time, a personal time, is to cultivate a daily relationship with God through hearing what He has to say and speaking back to Him. Not talking back, but speaking at Him. The fancy word for it is Bible reading and prayer, which sounds very religious-y, doesn't it? But what is it really we're trying to do? We're trying to cultivate a daily relationship, a rendezvous with God in a place and in a planned time where we're going to sit in His presence, like determinately, and we are always in His presence. But just because I'm in the presence of my wife in the house is not the same thing as the intentionality of sitting down with her face to face and saying, speak to me. I'm listening. Let me speak to you. Let me respond to you. So the purpose then of a divine rendezvous is to cultivate a daily relationship with God, not just to learn truths about God, but to develop a relationship with him through hearing what he has to say, to actually believe he is speaking still. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But also, not just to say my prayers, and let's just take the word pray out of it because it sounds so religious and formal. It just means talking to God. All right, so there's an objection that often comes at this point. Isn't there a danger of creating a dead habit or a checklist mentality? And the answer is yes. Yes, there is. And is there a danger of when I have date night, I can just check the box off of I've developed my relationship with my wife and it being dead and lifeless? Yes. Is it possible I can just do certain things by way of habit and practice? Is it that I can do things for the wrong motives and on and on? Yes, all of those things are true, but they're not necessarily true. Isn't there a danger of creating a dead habit, checklist mentality? Yes, there is, but just because that's a danger of that relationship with my wife means that I've got to recognize it, I've got to avoid it, and I've got to work against it. But that doesn't make the thing dangerous or wrong. It doesn't diminish the importance of it, right? If I said to you, yeah, we started having a date night because I heard a message about the importance of men having dates with their women. And quite frankly, we did it for a couple of weeks, and it was just so mechanical. It was so awkward. Therefore, we're just not going to do it anymore. What would you say? Oh, that's a great choice. That's what you ought to do. You should try a couple of times, and if it's impersonal and you're just checking off a box, if you're going to do that, then just give up and just talk to her as you're passing in the morning and she's on her way to her job and responsibilities and you're on your way to your job and responsibility. That sounds like a great idea. None of us would say that. We'd say, no, you've got to dig in. You've got to pursue the person that you're pursuing. So it is true about anything. But what we're trying to do here is to develop any relationship, there's the importance of both focused attention face-to-face, because it's relationship, it's not just passing information, and there's an ongoing conversation where the person is talking to me for a little while, and then I talk back to them, and then they talk back to me, and I talk back to them. I have a sense... And it's interesting. I just have this sense of, as I'm starting to ask this question around, I have a sense that personal Bible reading for many feels like meanie for meanie. Who is meanie? Where's meanie? Not meanie, many. Sorry about that. There's a sense that personal Bible reading for many feels like how students feel about certain subjects at school. Those of you who've raised kids know what it's like, right? You say, you got to learn algebra, you got to learn math, you got to learn these things. And they go, well, why? You know. Why do I have to learn this? Because later in life, it could be relevant to you. And it's just not that convincing, is it? And they don't go, oh, so way down the road in a way that I don't yet understand, this might or might not be beneficial to me. Yes, I'm giving my heart to that, right? And I have a feeling that many people, by experience and otherwise, feel that way about Bible reading. Hey, do you read your Bible? Well, I just don't see how it's relevant to me right now. I don't see, or there's that sense of, hey, what is God saying to you in, just ask the generic question, what is God saying to you these days? What is God teaching you? What is God speaking to you? And then there's this pause of, let me think of some large overarching themes. Let me think about some life lessons. And I want to assert, we ought to be like instantly ready to say what God told us today. Like instantly ready. That's not mysterious. It's not difficult. It's not something that's that hard. So I feel like sometimes pastors are like the parents who keep assuring the congregation, this is going to be good for you. Eat your vegetables. Just keep eating them. But what if I don't find personal benefit? Oh, just keep doing it. One day you'll really get it and it'll be great. I feel like a lot of encouragement to have personal devotions or read the Bible feels like that. Would you ask yourself if it feels like that? It's not life-giving. It's just this feeling of, I know I ought to eat these vegetables, but when they go down, they don't taste good. And I know someday they may be relevant, but I just don't feel it right now. So let me share with you a surprising personal experience that I had this past week and why. And I was already planning to teach this and had already finished all of my notes. And so finished those on Wednesday, went to a discipleship conference on Thursday and Friday. And I mean, I was ready. I was locked and loaded, ready to go, ready to teach this. And God humbled me, and God taught me on Friday in a way that I was absolutely not expecting. So here's what happened. So Thursday and Friday was a discipleship conference that Tyler and I attended together, 1,200 people, passionate about not only making disciples of Jesus, but also making disciples who make disciples of Jesus. And so going to this conference, 1,200 people, exuberant, enthusiastic worship, good teaching, and then we had these various breakout sessions. And Tyler and I went on the track with the Navigators Church Ministry, and that's what NCM here is the Navigators Church Ministry. The Navigators have a whole segment of their ministry. They were originally started in military contexts. They've moved to campus contexts many years ago, military-based contexts. And in more recent years, they've been very engaged in assisting churches to grow discipleship within them. So we were in these five sessions, going through these five sessions. I'm learning new things. I'm reading these books. I'm really getting excited and enthusiastic. And we came to session number four, a brother by the name of Cedric Brown, a black brother who's, I think, originally from Florida, no, Alabama. He lives up in, I think, Maine now. And so I'm just going to be transparent with you all. When I first met him, was introduced to him in the lobby of Brentwood Baptist Church. I just didn't like him. Is that okay to say, to be honest? And say there was just something personality-wise, it was just like, you know, he was one of these fellows that when he was first introduced to me, he said hello, and then he's talking and he's looking around the room. And that drives me crazy. It really does. It was just like, I'm here, we're talking, you know. So already I've like almost marked this guy off. So then we come to the session, it's called the Silver Bullet of Discipleship. Well, already I'm like, and all of the other sessions have been excellent. I mean, I'm a learner. One of my strengths is learner. I love new information. I love to learn things. I love new insights. I love those things. And in those first three sessions, I just couldn't even keep up with the amount of things that I was learning. So he comes to the silver bullet, and already I'm skeptical. We've already had the lobby incident, and now we come into this, and he calls it the silver bullet. Well, there's no silver bullet of Christianity or of discipleship or of personal, you know, what are you talking about? He's going to oversimplify something, yada, yada, yada. So I already had that against him. So then he's talking, and then he starts talking, and he's talking very slow. And he's very kind of quiet spirit. And then he says, here's the silver bullet. And by silver bullet, he defined it as a simple answer to a often complex series of problems. He says the silver bullet of discipleship and of really personal growth in Christ, relationship with Christ, is reflective Bible reading. And I'm outwardly I'm going, inwardly I'm going, ugh. Okay, here we go. So now I got to sit through this pietistic sense of him going through all these things. And so far, my heart's ugly, isn't it? It's just ugly. It is what it is. And I'm sitting there with all of these things as he's coming to this. And then he says, I want to walk you through how I have a quiet time devotional. And I'm like, oh no, come on. You know, I know all of this stuff. And then finally, you're waiting for the punchline, aren't you? You're waiting for something to come, and it's coming. So I'm sitting there, and so he walks through, and then he starts describing how he takes his lawn chair in the morning, and he goes out, and he's got a half-acre backyard, and he goes out there, and he sits. And he sits there with his Bible and his journal on his lap, and he's telling this story. I'm just like, man, you're killing me, Smalls. Come on. And he starts talking, and suddenly, like, my spirit starts settling. And it was like, almost I was like being enchanted. And then he gave us an assignment. He talks through, and he goes through stop, look, listen, and respond. This little series of things that he did, that he goes through. And it was that issue of stop that really stopped me in my tracks. So then he did this. So then he gave us either a small stack of papers on the table, half sheets, with a single scripture on it. And we were supposed to get one. He says, now, this process I've just walked you through, I want you to do, and what I want you to do is take, I'm going to give you 15 minutes. I want you to have 5 minutes of just not doing anything, but sitting in the presence of the Lord and praying and inviting and being responsive to God. Then the next 5 minutes want you to go through this procedure with the passage that's on the sheet of paper. Then the last 5 minutes, I want you to talk to others in the around the table about what the Lord said to you during that time. And so, and I'm used to like what the Bible teaches you or something like that. So I'm like, okay, here we go. So I got the sheet, pulled my Bible over. I'm like, okay, here we go. And I sat there, and it was like literally 15 seconds in, my spirit settled, everything was absolutely quiet, and the Lord came and met with me. And I'm responsive, and it's the most quiet and still that I can remember being in a very long time. And don't confuse that with, I mean, I read my Bible, I journal, I pray every day, pretty much. 10 times out of 11, something like that. So this wasn't new, but it's that receptivity to the point that I started hearing Tyler and the other guy at the table. I think his name is Daniel. I hear them, and I start hearing this. And I'm like, I don't want to go there yet. I don't want to go there yet. And so then I'm waiting. So after several minutes, I still hear writing, and now every pen in the room is moving, and I'm still sitting there going, no, I just want to sit here in your presence. And so finally, I'm like, I got to get something done because I don't want to be the kid who didn't do his assignment, you know. So finally, like, okay, let's finish this up later, you know. So then I pulled my sheet of paper, and it was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I turned to it, and there was that initial, well, I've got this thing memorized. I've studied this before. I've preached on it. I've taught it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And so I'm like, man, I've squeezed everything I know how to squeeze out of this verse over the years. Been a pastor 19 years, a Christian longer than that. But the Lord began to speak to me directly, particularly in issues in relationship to the church and in relationship to my family. And God was speaking to me. And I didn't get my assignment done. I start writing things down, and suddenly it's like, I wasn't learning about trusting in the Lord. I was learning, and God was speaking to me in trusting him. So the time passed up, and then we start sharing this around the table, and I'm flabbergasted at this point. Now this fellow who stands up, you know, Cedric comes over, and he sits at the table. And I, like, want to go hug him, and I want to go not let go of him, and I want to, like, suck all the life out of him and take it into me. And he's asking questions, and I'm, like, confessing. And then at the end of the conference, after everything was said and done, he was sitting in a chair at a table. And I was walking by, and I looked over, and there he was. And I, like, went and got down on my knees and put my hands on his leg. And I said, I need to tell you what God did during that session earlier today. So I don't know what he thought about this white guy from Nashville doing that to him, but I was just blown away. And so I said everything I wanted to say about that. So I came out of that, and really I learned a lot all through that conference, but I met with God in that period. So what I want to do is invite us, and part of what happened was the terminology that they were using was terminology I don't typically use. I wasn't even aware I didn't use it. But that whole idea of God speaking to me, because, you know, we don't want to be crazy charismatics, and we don't believe in new revelation, and we don't need all this, so much to the point it's like, when I sit down, the fact that 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed, and he just said this little thing, he says, do you expect when you open your Bible that God is going to speak to you personally? Like, where you are in that passage, you're not just learning some truths about Christianity or truths about God, but that God is going to speak to you personally for this particular time and thing and place that you need. The problem isn't that he's not talking. The problem is we're not very good at listening. And God tuned the radio of my heart into his signal that day and blew me away. and felt closer to God in that 15 minutes than any of the rest of the time of the conference or the rest of the time of the week. That made me say, I want me some more of that. And so if indeed 2 Timothy 3:16 is true, all scripture is God-breathed, then I can come reading the Bible not to learn about these things, but expecting God will speak to me. And when I look at a verse and I apply the verse and I pray the verse, when you ask me the question, what did God say to you today, I can confidently have an answer and tell you exactly what God said to me today. And I'm just not used to learning in that or speaking in that terminology. But I think it's absolutely accurate. So what I want to do, and this is what I had prepared before, what I want to do is walk you through. How many are familiar with SOAP, S-O-A-P, SOAP Bible Study Method? And there's tons of tools. There's tools for praying, ACTS, A-C-T-S. There are lots of methods. A book that's pretty popular around here is a One-to-One Bible Reading by David Helm. They use the COMA method Bible of study. In one sense, it really doesn't even matter which one of these catches with you, as long as one of them could help you as a tool. So what I'm going to present is the SOAP Bible study and walk you through even what I did in my morning devotion this morning. Because I was up this morning going, God, I want more of that. I want you to do that with me again. I want to like actually meet with you. So when we ask the question, what has God said to you? What is God teaching you? I don't think it should be like the question of geometry. Like, how are you applying geometry in your life, student? Well, let me think. There's got to be something there. It's like, no, I can tell you exactly what God's saying to me. So this can sound mystical on the one hand, or we just look for, well, God's teaching me to trust in him during difficult times, something like that. But I think it could be even more specific than that. There's this approaching the time of this divine rendezvous. Like I'm saying to God, I put on my calendar tomorrow at 6:15, 7:15, 8:15, that is the time when you're going to get my full undivided attention. And you know what that means, right? Shutting off your notifications, closing everything that's going to distract, turning off your phone, doing everything that you can to give your undivided attention at whatever time and place and plan of the day that you can to say, this is not me doing a Bible study. This is me sitting to listen to God speak to me and for me to talk back to God. And just that shift of paradigm and thinking was so impactful for me last Friday. Now, is any of that new information for me? Have I said that a bazillion times before? But it was different. So it is reading with expectation that God is actually going to speak and reading with the skill to discern what is God saying to me. And that's what this SOAP is about. The SOAP is about applying a skill to ask questions of the text in such a way that God is personally speaking to us. That's my approach. So let's look, first of all, look at S. S just simply stands for Scripture. I think that stopping, shutting everything off as much as you can. I know there are people in stages of life where there's babies and there's children and there's lots of obstacles in doing this. But trying to figure out some way, asking your husband, your wife, somebody to give you some time to be with God in this intentional way. So with Scripture, what Scripture is, having some sort of a plan. Like right now, my plan is reading through the Psalms. However long it takes me, whatever I do, so I might come back to a psalm after I've read it and think there's more there I want to go back to. But it's coming not primarily for information. It's coming for relationship, to hear what God says. So it's Scripture. From my reading, then what is recommended in the SOAP method is maybe I'm reading. And I'm going to take you through Psalm 50 and what I did this morning just to show that there might be imitation, there might be example. Not for mimicking, but just so you can see and hear what it is. So I read through Psalm 50, but it's taking a larger portion of whatever you're reading and looking, reflecting, and maybe there's some verse that really sticks out to you, or there's something that really impacts you, or awakens you, or something that just stuck in your mind as you were reading it. And you read it through once, you read it through twice, and you're like, you know, that verse, I want to park there for a while. I want to think about that. And here, it's recommended that you take that verse and actually write it out by hand. It's been proven cognitively that things that you type or things that you just think about don't have the same cognitive connection as when you actually write them out by hand. So take that verse, write it out by hand. Then comes the O, observation. And here there's, again, tons of tools to use for this. One is just from that portion, make an observation by asking questions such as, what does this reveal about God? What is God telling me about himself? What is God telling us about who I am, or something about humanity or about people in general? What example am I finding in the scripture? What truth is God speaking to me right here? And to recognize this isn't just God revealing truth. This is God speaking truth to me personally at that moment. I didn't put it in here, but the spec, and I can send this out in the weekly roundup. This has been used for years. Spec, S-P-E-C-K. S is a sin that I need to avoid. P is a promise I need to embrace. E is an example I need to imitate or avoid. C is somebody help me out. It's dropped out of my mind. C is a command I need to obey. K is knowledge of God that by which I need to worship him. S-P-E-C-K. Those are great things to just use to go through that, either that passage or that particular verse. Then there's the application. I tell you what, this is my point of failure. Because I think I'm good at the first two, getting a scripture, focusing on something, observing as if I'm going to teach it, or truths that are found here. The point of application is, what am I going to do with this? And folks, I get stuck there. And it turns into something that's just more of a wish than a plan. Maybe I'm convicted. I read it and I say, oh, I need to love my wife better. And I skip over A and go to P. So now I'm just a sop. I thought, come on, that was funny, wasn't it? I'm just a sop. I'm skipping over the application. Now I'm just praying, which is another way of saying I'm just wishing something would change. Without the A of application, the prayer is futile. It's just not futile. It is, God is not going to use without application our prayers. Where Paul says to Timothy, think on these things, give yourself entirely to them, and the Lord will grant you understanding. There's something to do. There's a working in our working. So it's asking questions of what specific things will I do in response, even if it's just one singular thing. Some of us, if we could just get one thing, what will I do in response to God speaking to me? Application is to apply and plan how to act, not how to wish. How to act in response to that observation. And in the day of judgment, isn't that what Jesus judges us by? Not those who have wished the will of the Father, but those who have done the will of the Father. Those who heard my word and wished they could do something about it. No, those who heard my word and did it. So the application point better be a pretty significant point. Other words, folks, it's just pietism. It's just passivity. It's just reading my Bible for my own spiritual nourishment, but if I'm not ready to respond to the word, then I'm deceiving myself according to James. Okay, so those are some heavy words, but I think I have the right to say them based on the three past weeks of preaching. Wouldn't you agree? The words of Jesus in Matthew 7? I mean, this is a big deal. So what specific things will I do in response to God speaking to me? And this is where I recommend not even making a plan, but writing that plan down, even if it's just one point. In light of S-P-E-C-K, what am I going to do? What am I going to do, and here you've heard this already a couple of times, in the next 10 minutes as I pray about it? What am I going to do in the next 10 hours? In other words, today, what am I going to do to see this change? What am I going to do over the next 10 days to see a different way of life worked out? And I tell you, without the A, we're just sops, folks. We're missing it. And Matthew 7 brings some very, very strong applications to us. And then lastly, prayer. Because apart from him, we can't do anything, can we? We're not like, yes, I'm the self-made man. I'm going to get up now. I'm going to go to do this. And I can do this on my own. No, now we're saying, Lord, I have made this plan. This is the next step. This is what I want to do. Now, Lord, as I do it, empower me. Help me. Give me humility. Forgive me. I confess this sin to you. Some specific things, and praying for the Spirit's help in response to our application, and help me to follow through in what I said I was going to do over the next 10 minutes, 10 hours, 10 days. And that's where the rubber so meets the road, it is burning. That's where the rubber meets the road. And then continue to think out of that. So God, now, if I said to you, if you were really convinced that God spoke to me, like if I could convince you somehow that God came and told me something this morning, if I was really convinced that God came and said something specific to me this morning about himself, about what I was going to do, would I quickly forget that? But if I've learned some general truths about Christianity and some things about Christian doctrine, that's very forgettable in one sense. Do you know what I mean? But if the most important person in my life comes and says something very specific to me, if my wife comes in the morning and says something that blows me away about her love for me, about her support of me, of her affirmation of me, of something that she would like me to do for her in love, and we're in relationship, you better believe I'm not going to walk away and forget what she said. And even in the case I do, if I have a bad memory, you better be sure I'm going to write it down in some kind of a place that I'm going to look at again today and try to remember. And if God is really speaking to us, and we have buy-in on that, we are going to do everything that we can to respond to that. Okay, so let me very quickly then walk you through a little bit. I'm going to use my journal here and show you a little bit of what I'm talking about. So Psalm 50, please turn there in your Bibles. I don't have it up on the screen. This is something I just planned to do this morning and did it. And this is what Bill Mowry calls fresh bread. And one of the things he asks us as he's discipling some of us is he asks the question, what fresh bread has the Lord given you today? And the imagery is from manna. You remember what happened if you had manna from yesterday that you tried to hold over to the next day? What happened to it? So what did you need? What's that?
It had worms in it.
It had worms in it. Ugh. So what did you need to do? You needed to go get fresh bread for the day. Right? And so here, God gives us the opportunity to go out to receive bread from heaven. And to go and collect. And some of us are like, well, I got bread. I'm like, you should have seen the basket of bread I got on Sunday. I mean, I couldn't even eat it all. Man, if you, in one sense, you're still feeding on it and thinking about it, etc. But if you're depending on that without fresh bread, you're shorting yourself and you're eating worms and stuff. Just because it's not God speaking to you daily. Now, again, I'm not undermining that the analogy could be taken too far, etc. But you get the point. It's fresh bread. Like, there's fresh manna I'm going after. So Psalm 50, I'm sorry, I don't have time to read it, but the overview of it is the ESV title says, God himself is judge. It's talking about God coming in judgment, his judgment coming out of Zion, calling his people to stand before him, calling the wicked to stand before him, this majestic view of God's judgment. And where my heart kind of landed at first was verses 14 and 15, but then it trimmed back down to verse 14. Verse 14 says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, this is in light of the day of judgment. So I think it has everything to do with Matthew 7 and what we've been seeing. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. And I'll just stop there, verse 14. And so what I did was I put stop up at the top of my journal here, stop. And I spent time just sitting before the Lord. I shut all my technology off. I've gone, because I'm so technologically oriented, I'm now with my physical Bible, with a physical journal, and with a physical planner that I'm going to write the application in to do something about that day and that week. I'm doing that because this stuff is so cool and has so much stuff in it that it just distracts me to no end. So for me, I've put it away in using these physical tools. So stop. So I spent time quietly before the Lord, and you know what? He came and he met me again. And I felt like his presence was there in an unusual way, in a close way. Because not because he's not there all the time, because you know you can be around somebody and not even really realize they're there and be connected with them. But when you stop and look at them and give your attention to them, you feel their presence more. That's what I'm likening this to. So what I wrote was just in my scripture under the letter S, I wrote a psalm. This is just an overview, a psalm of God's judgment overall with special reference to his people and to the wicked. This is an exquisite picture of God coming to rule and reign and call all into his presence. And then the verses were verse 14 and 15, so I wrote them out by hand. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Perform your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. I ended up trimming it just to verse 14. So here's a threefold call, because this is actually a command. This is a command to obey, right? It's an imperative. What he says is, in light of God's judgment all through chapter 50, there's three things. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Perform your vows to the Most High, and then call upon me in the day of trouble. So no, I did include the first part of verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, because it's a command. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me are facts of statement. They're not commands. So it's verse 14 and 15a. So I wrote down a threefold call for me is, first of all, to thank God. Second, to perform my vows to God, which just means do what I said what I was going to do. Obey him. Third is call upon God. The religious word is pray, but it means talk to God. Ask him. Help. Ask him for help. So I wrote, in preparation for standing before my God, who is now my Father in Christ, these things are given by you to indicate my life's goals. Like, what is God telling me to do today? And so I used the words, I tweaked the words, I wrote some down, I was looking for synonyms of thanksgiving and so on, because sometimes just having a word that you're so used to, it's so loaded with past history or whatever, using a synonym that kind of throws you off, like divine rendezvous, doesn't that kind of, oh, that's a different way of thinking about it. It might stick a little bit more than quiet time or devotional time. So that's what I was doing here. So rather than thanksgiving, I said, God is calling me to be a man of gratitude. Second, God is calling me to be a man of integrity. And that's perform your vows. Be trustworthy. Do what you say you're going to do. Be honest. When you say you're going to obey God or you're going to do something for somebody else, God is calling me to be a man of integrity. Number three, God is calling me to be a man of dependence. And so I can take this, and what God was saying is, Stephen, I want you to be a man of gratitude today. And the next 10 days. I want you to do today what is going to begin to affect your life in such a way that it's going to make you into the man that you're becoming. But that's got to start today. Any change for tomorrow has to begin today. If not, it never changes. It has to start today. So to be a man of gratitude, a man of integrity, a man of, what I said, a man of dependence, G-I-D. So then here's my application. So that's what God told me. God said to me, Stephen, I'm calling you in light of the day of judgment and fruit bearing to be a man of gratitude, a man of integrity, and a man dependent on me. So I wrote in the application, since these are the will of my Father, it is of utmost importance that I do them, not just wish them to be done. So then I wrote some specific application and some questions. Some of the questions are reflective, like what did I do today? So under the G, the gratitude, did I live today expressing thanks to God and others? And what I began to move is, it's not, God just doesn't want me to say thank you to him. He wants me to thank him for all of the gifts and all those through him whom those gifts come. So I need not just to be thankful to God, I need to thank you and thank you and thank you and thank you. I need to be a man that people know this guy's just always thanking people. And like he's genuinely aware of the sense of gratitude for what people do that benefit him and benefit others. So I move that into the realm of from God just to others. He doesn't want me just to be a man of gratitude religiously, but just in life. So I wrote then, choose three people and make an effort today to express thanks to them. And I've already said that to two of the three people on my list. I still have one other that I haven't. So what did I do? I went to them and I said, I'm thankful for you. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for encouraging me. Thank you for helping me. And if I do that every day for the rest of my life, I will be cultivating a man to be a man of gratitude. And how sad that I have to even encourage myself to say that. If I had a gratitudinous, thankful heart, I would be doing it all the time naturally. And that's what I'm headed for. Under the letter I, for integrity, did I today do what I said I was going to do? Did I speak with honesty without lying or skewing the truth? And so that's a reflective question. At the end of the day, I intend to pull out my journal, ask myself, did I, as best as I could, in the stories that I told and the things that I taught, was I speaking to God and with other people and even to myself, because I can self-deceive myself, am I speaking with honesty without lying and skewing the truth for my own benefit? And then the action item was, whoever comes to mind that you have not done this with, contact and ask forgiveness for any failures to do so today. If there's any mental cognitive awareness, I've not told the truth, I've lied, I've skewed the truth, I have used a slight falsehood for my own advantage, then put it on, and whoever may come to, I need to get that thing right with John, or I need to get that thing right with Kimberly. Write it down, and then by the end of the day, determine to do it. Number three, this is application, right? You see the difference between, Lord, make me a man of gratitude, integrity, and dependence. Lord, I wish I would become something like that, and saying, no, I'm going to do these things as God leads me, and I'm going to pray that he would help me follow through in the very things that I know that I need to do. Letter D, the dependence. Did I live today with an awareness of my need for God as well as other people? And I was thinking about this, and I started praying this, that I could not feed myself without tons of other people. The farmers, I mean, what God did in allowing things to grow and creating things. But there are farmers, there are workers, there are people who built machines and factories to process that food. There are the truckers. There's the industry that brings in fuel to fuel the truckers. There are the people who bring it to the stores. There are the people who stock the shelves. On and on and on. I could not even feed myself. I don't hunt, and I don't have a garden. And that's what I mean by being a man of dependence, of being aware that my food comes through a whole process of people, that I should sit down with my food and say, thank you, God, and thank you, truck drivers, and thank you, Kroger workers, and thank you. And just that awareness that this food is not because of me. This food is through a whole bunch of other people for which I should just be deeply thankful. Left to my own resources, I would be standing here naked. I can't dress myself unless somebody does all of the processes to grow cotton or fabrics, to create textile mills, the machines that make those things, the designs to make them, to truck them, to get them into the stores, to get them to the Amazon place for me to order. And then there's the internet. How many people does it take to run the internet so I can click a button and say, be here tomorrow? I couldn't clothe myself. And you could see, I could not read my Bible unless there were people growing trees, producing ink, building printing presses, establishing publishing companies with truck drivers and accountants and all of that. I could not even read my Bible. You know, I just need me and God. No, you can't even, without a whole bunch of people that you should be really thankful for, I can't even. So that's what I'm praying at this point. I'm just like, I'm overwhelmed with gratitude toward thousands and millions of people I've never even met. Now may I carry that in how I interact with people? and just thanking them and being appreciative and being a man of awareness that this church would it not exist apart from what you do? This church would not exist and be thriving apart from your contribution to what it does. This is not something that I've done. God is working, and God is working through you. And on and on. So that's where, then, are there areas in which I'm struggling? And this is on the point of dependence. Are there areas in which I'm struggling that I need to tell someone I need help? Because if a person is not aware of their dependence on other people and like embrace that as a reality, they're not going to ask for people for help. So what do I do? If there's an area in which I'm struggling that I need to ask for help, I need to write it down and by the end of the day make a contact and say, my marriage is in trouble, I'm in trouble, I need help. And God has put you on my heart that you might be the one to help me. So do you see how personal it is? I mean, God spoke to me this morning. Stephen, I want you to be a man and plan for and cultivate to be a man of gratitude, integrity, and dependence. Man, I could spend all of 2018 just obeying that word and cultivating that word. God has spoken so powerfully. The prayer, may this word from you be my meditation all of today, so I may be blessed by you and bear fruit in you. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who doesn't do those other things, but his meditation is on the law of God, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a man, like a tree planted by streams of water, and he will bear his fruit in his season, and his leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. That's the kind of man I want to be. How do I do that? By saying, done, God spoke, I'm done, let's get on with the day. And then I listen to this devotion and listen to this podcast and listen to this. So God spoke to me directly through his word, and then it gets just drowned out by so many other voices. And so that's the example. So in closing, what I want to urge you to is to anticipate, to long for this, to expect to meet with God, view it as fresh bread, manna for a new day. Therefore, plan for a regular time, or at least plan ahead of time, tomorrow, or even by the end of the day, a time, a place, and what you're going to do. If soap doesn't help you, then use something else. If spec doesn't help you, use something else. But I think it's also important in that last part of soap is I'm praying in the thing that God taught me, and I'm turning scripture into prayer. Pray for the help of the Holy Spirit, without whom we can't do any of this. Spend time before stopping, clearing your head, being still. And one of the things I've learned to do, how many of you are right in the middle of something and you think, oh, I got to make sure that I get that at the grocery store today? Or I've got to make sure that. The easiest thing to do that is have some deposit, piece of paper, post-it note, whatever, that when those intrusive thoughts come in your mind, you stop, you write it down, and you push it away. And then you get back to it. Don't fall for that, oh, I forgot to respond to that email. I'll go do that real quick, and then I'll come back. Don't do it. But I don't want to forget. Write it down. Just like, unless it's an emergency, when we're having at table with people and our phone goes off, when my wife calls, she's getting in. Any of the rest of you, if I'm in a meeting with somebody else, you're going to be put on hold. You're going to have to leave a voicemail. Because my meeting with that person, with those people at the time, is the priority because I'm trying to build relationship. With the exception of Kimberly or my kids, because of emergency situations and others. So spend time by clearing your head, being still. Anything that comes, write it down. You can get that done later. Remember, the purpose is to cultivate relationship, to hear God speak, not just to study the Bible for doctrinal truths, to hear God speak. Remember the purpose. Try journaling if you've never done that. Write some of these things down. So at the end of the day, well, what did you read in your morning devotion this morning? What kind of quiet time did you have? And you probably haven't been meditating on it day and night. And so a journal or something to have, to go to remember, to think about, if it's going to affect us, we're going to have to give ourselves to it. Share what you are learning with others. I can't emphasize these two things or not. One of the thrilling things is to have other people walk me through this process and then share this, what God is speaking and teaching them. And I hope it's been helpful for you just by way of an example. And then look for opportunities to share. Make it a common question when you sit down to have lunch with somebody or you make a phone call to your spouse in the middle of the day. What fresh bread did God give you today? Just ask the question. Share what you're learning with others, and then ask others what they are learning, what God is speaking to them, and how they are applying it in those lives. Well, I was really this morning convicted by this word that I need to do more of that. Okay, so what's your plan for that? And I'd love to follow up with you in a week and 10 days and see how that's going and seeing if you're following up with that. That's just encouraging one another, spurring one another on to love and good deeds, as Hebrews tells us. All right, we're past time. Thank you for your patience. I hope that was helpful. I'm excited. I'm thrilled. I hope that you are. I hope that you catch that enthusiasm. And I can't just say how thankful I am to the Lord for humbling my arrogant, proud heart before this dear brother on Friday in a way that just has absolutely uprooted me. May God give us help. Let's stop. I wish I had time for prayers. What I'm going to give you a heads up. What I think with the elders, okay, what I want to do next week is us get together and apply this and give you the kind of assignment that I was giving the other day, and you break up in small groups and talk through and come out, and then you share your bread with us. How's that sound? Yeah. Some of you freaking out? Amen. Amen. But I'd encourage you, go ahead and go get that done today. Start doing that today. Start doing that tomorrow. And Lord willing, we'll come back and try to workshop that. And what's just remarkable is what God speaks to people through his word. Just absolutely amazing. Well, let's pray. Thank you for your patience. Should we start on time still? We're 6 minutes over. Are we okay to start on time, or should we start late? On time? Let's just get her done. All right. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed. Lord, forgive us for forgetting that. Forgive us for making the Bible impersonal and really coming with hope and anticipation that you will talk to us and that we can talk to you. So please bless us and bring much fruit by what we've discussed this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.